Morning, everyone. I think we could have almost carried on this morning and one by one stood up here and said something about the amazing grace of the Lord in our own lives. The incredible unmerited favour of God in someone's life. I think we can all stand here, couldn't we? Not forgetting mercy, that we don't get what we deserve. What an amazing Saviour we have. Well, my theme isn't grace this morning. You know, when you're sat there thinking, oh. But in actual fact, the more I think about it in my mind, it's all enveloped by grace. And the readings that I have, I hope that it will just come through something of the incredible grace of the Lord. I think I need to pray this morning. I'm not sure if you wake up sometimes, but you have niggles. You know these little niggles? We were running late in the house. There was a real rush on. Our printer packed up. So my notes were, well, they're a little bit non-existent. And then this morning I've forgotten that I'm on Inters. Chris, I'm sorry. I'll be in your black book again. So I'm in trouble. Once again, but the Lord knows, doesn't he? I think I just want to pray. You know, he's the one that speaks. He uses these earthen vessels, doesn't he? That little bit nervous, dry mouth, you know, but somehow, amazingly, the Lord uses that. So I just want to pray, Lord, we do, even, Lord, as I attempt to say what's on, you put on my heart, also for those that hear, Lord, that there would be an anticipation as well that you've already spoken to us this morning, Lord. Lord, you really have. There could be things in our lives that we need to get right now, Lord, because we know of your amazing grace. Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us again this morning, Lord, right now, Lord. Lord, as we go through Scripture, that you bring something alive from it, Lord. It is a living and an alive word, Lord, that still speaks, Lord, this morning, Lord, and I'm just very conscious this morning. I know it's Mother's Day, Lord, but I think of all those mothers in Ukraine, Lord, with young families, even those that, Lord, are being prepared to come here and in other nations, Lord, those mothers, those that are serving mothers too, Lord. Lord, I pray for them and that you, Lord, you have your hand upon your church, you're growing it, you're building it. In nations that, Lord, are raging against nations at the moment, you are building your church. Lord, we love you for that, Lord, and we are part of it, Lord, and we can pray. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Precious Lord, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, just a few weeks ago, I kind of was speaking with some of the young people, and a little topic came up. And it was just, I kind of almost just gave a little name to it. And it was this, it was superficial or deep. And I just wanted to kind of give a few thoughts this morning about lives that you can just live on a superficial level when you're just scratching the surface. Or in actual, there's ways which you can go deeper with the Lord Jesus. And I think actually linking it with this morning, going deeper with the Lord Jesus, I think, is actually knowing his grace more and more. I was sat there thinking about it. How can I link this? I was thinking, well, that's the link. And I was thinking, what are the ways in which we can go deeper with the Lord Jesus? I'm talking to you now. Most of you are adults and you're well-journeyed, mature. A few giggles there. I thought I was waiting for a giggle. I was talking to some young people that in some ways their journeys are just starting. And at the moment in the world there is a massive superficial area that lives are living. You know, and I just wanted to kind of scratch and go beyond the surface and just go a little bit deeper. Now to go deeper, how do we do that? And I just put something on my phone here. This is one of my notes that I saved. The rest of them, well, they're gone. Being superficial or deep comes down to how we navigate through testing times and hardships. How do you respond or react to adversity and sadness? We have choices to make which shape our character as we grow in God. And I just realised we've been here, say, about 11, 12 years, and I was thinking about all the people that have been in and through this local church here for various reasons. I was thinking about those that have suffered. We sang that song earlier on about knowing your sufferings. All of those that maybe have gone to be with the Lord, I went through all the different scenarios, and I was thinking one thing that stands out to me is that when I've seen people and how they have in some ways thrown themselves on the Lord Jesus, it's there that they've met grace. And I think that there is a clear choice to be made there. If you don't choose when something so hard comes up to throw yourselves on the Lord Jesus, it can actually be, you can, man, build these massive barriers up and it actually becomes a little bit superficial. I don't know if you agree with me. But I want to go deeper. And I know that the way that will be a way of suffering. If you can just turn with me, if you have your Bible, just turn with me into Luke. I'm just going to go to a couple places this morning. Just Luke chapter 20, verse 45. And this is around the time, a little bit of context, that the Lord Jesus was being really tested by those in authority, the Pharisees and the scribes. There were some real questions where they were trying to get him into a trap. And he just comes and just responds with this. He says this in verse 45, if you've got it, Luke chapter 20. He says this, "Then, in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, 'Beware of the scribes, who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues.'" The best seats, by the way, would be somewhere near the front here, because they actually would be seen by everyone else. I actually had to have a look up. I mean, what was the best seat in a synagogue, you know? And it was somewhere where they are visually seen by everyone. Okay, let's go on. Just in case I look around, the front seat's often quite empty. Steve, sorry, Steve. That was not intended at all. Dave said another. Please, I'm in trouble again now. Okay, the best seats in the song, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. I won't say anything more on the long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Then it goes on. I love this little image here. It's the widow with the two mites. And he looked up, this is Jesus, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, "Truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." There was a couple words that have been on my mind and my heart just while I've been at work. It's this, out of her poverty. And this just incredible illustration here really speaks to me. I was thinking about the treasury. Another word for treasury is storehouse. It was known as a storehouse. And if you look in Mark, it actually says Jesus was actually there looking at actually who was putting things in. He was actually sat there. And in some ways I was thinking, actually, well, the treasury is in some ways the Lord Jesus himself, isn't he? He's looking this morning at what our offerings are. Do you realise that? You know, even in our worship, in our praise, what your thoughts have been this morning, hopefully it's not about your roast later, or going for a walk because it's Mother's Day, or anything, you know? I hope that some of the concentration has been fixed on the Lord. That is, in some ways, an offering to him. It could have been something that, what Helen said earlier on, that resonated, didn't it? The way Dave has just led us and reminded us about the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus, That there is an offering to him, our wonderful Saviour. And this widow, well, she just brought two mites. Something about the scribes, right at the beginning it says, beware of the scribes. I went through Jude recently and it said, where it says the word beware, it's very strong language. And in this one it says, beware of the scribes. And I was thinking, well, what did the scribes do? What did they do wrong? And one of the things that they used to do was their role was to preserve the word of God, which would have been the Old Testament. It was them that were actually protect it. They would almost like lock and key. They would follow it to the letter. But something crept in. They actually started to add a few things to it. They actually started to bring in some regulations. A few more laws. A few more bits. And they actually started to kind of almost like get a bit entangled with it. And that's what actually caused a massive hindrance to people. So something that they were actually trying to preserve actually started to nullify people. So when the Lord says strong language like this, beware of the scribes, that is one of the things as to why the Lord said beware of the scribes. Well, here we are. Let's just go on. Let's think about the two mites. I don't know if you know about the currency back at the time. Does anyone know about what a mite was? No? No? Small? Something you find in your bed. Brian? Always rely on the contribution there. Okay, other than the mites in the bed, okay. It was, well, I was kind of linking it with that, Brian. It's very small. It's actually the smallest currency. It's pretty much next to nothing. There are about 13 different coins. What she put in was the smallest. And if anything that you can remember from this morning, it's about this. What is the Lord, what's he wanting from us to offer to him? Now this widow, yeah, basically she'd already been robbed by the scribes. Did you read this bit? It says, who devour the widow's houses, verse 47. The scribes, yeah, they were in charge of people's legal lives, marriages, funerals, okay? They would actually be the ones that would work out all the paperwork, the legalities. They actually were robbing the widows, taking them of their houses. But yet still, she, I'm going to get to the main bit, she put in all of her livelihood. Do you know what? It's not always about what you put in, it's what remains. It's not always about what you put in, it's what you keep back. And something this morning, I'm just very challenged, I've been challenged from right at the beginning, is that what are we offering up to the Lord in our lives? Is it at this place where it's just scratching the surface? When I was chatting to the young people, superficial things of life are evident all over the place. I won't bring it up again, but most lives are actually quite based on the superficial, going up to kind of the cosmetics, the social media, and how much it portrays of the superficial, an image on the outside, that most things in the depths are forgotten. I'm always interested when I work with people that in some ways have not yet come to know the Lord, although my prayer is for them that they would just come to know the Lord Jesus. One of the testing things is that when they go through testing times, it's then that I think they start thinking about the deeper things in life. Illness, death, those things can. I believe the Lord can use them. I know it sounds in some ways. I was thinking about Ukraine, the nations rising up against nations. The Lord is actually building a stronger church in that place. That's the great hope. If you this morning just think you've just got maybe a mite to offer up to the Lord, put it in there. Honestly, put it in there. I'm trying in some ways to paint a picture of it's not about giving this morning. We don't hand around a pot that we all, you know, if I was in the prosperity gospel, now would be a good time for me to actually get some baskets and do a wonderful collection for, It's not. I'm trying to give a picture of like what's in the depths of us to give more. Don't leave anything behind. That widow spoke to me this week because she gave all. She gave her livelihood. Just go with me. Another great story. Jonah. What a character. If you've got your Bible, just nip into Jonah. You're thinking, how are you going to link that with Jonah? Well, I may not be able to. It was just something that really came out to me. Doesn't always have to be seamless and linked, does it? But one thing is that when you read it in your own time, the Lord, he cements things in your heart. And he challenges you too. Okay, Jonah. Here it is, Jonah. He was some interesting character. If you do a character study on Jonah, man, I was saying with the young adults, I think he was a little bit of a prickly character, actually. He was a bit of a, he had a good grumble in there. He had a bit of a moan about things. I think there was a bit of stubbornness in there. I'm not going down the route of men being stubborn, but there could be something in that. I think he was quite stubborn, you know, right from the beginning, okay? But just see how the Lord turns it, and in some ways linking it with his wonderful grace. If Jonah received grace upon grace, it's in this story. Right, just basically, I'll try and give you a bit of context. The sea is raging, there's the waves, it was all sorts going on. Very, in some ways, you think about the Lord Jesus, don't you, and the disciples in the boat. There are similarities here. But it says this, it goes into, we'll just go in chapter 1. Basically, Jonah had said to the guys, look, if you want the sea to be calmed, throw me over the boat. Just throw me over the side, it will all be okay. Now, I don't know if you're in that situation, would have the faith to do that, or even, was it actually faith? Was it him just saying, my life, I've disobeyed God, just throw me over the side. Anyway, he was thrown over the side and the sea just calmed. Then it goes into verse 17. Interesting this. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amazing that whatever you go through, whatever massive obstacle that you may have coming up, whatever huge hurt that may be in our lives, the Lord is preparing things. And he's preparing a way out. He had already prepared a big fish, whether it be a whale, not sure if it's a great white, or some large fish. He had prepared that already. So the Lord prepares us in even our journeys of suffering and work. He is there, it's prepared. And he goes on, he says this is a prayer, okay, from Jonah's heart. So I was trying to say to the young people, that whatever stage you are at in your life, there is always a time you can call out to him. Okay, it says this, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. Sheol is in some ways almost death. Okay, it's a place of the real depths, the real low. And you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and all your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. That's the first part of this prayer where you actually feel a sense of faith coming into it. Okay, you need faith to get through many things. In some ways our lives are faith, but there are massive things that come along where you need that faith to get through. Jonah said, I will look again towards your holy temple. The water surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my neck, around my head, and I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Oh Lord, my God. When I said earlier on that we could all individually step out here and say about the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus, it's from that place of the pit. that his grace is gone. This one, but now, but God. Can you answer that this morning? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Here's a little thing about the world these days. This must give us energy to pray more, to speak more with those that don't believe, to listen more to those that don't believe, to have a heart that's full of grace and love to them. It says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. I don't know if you're working with people at the moment, but their lives are just about idols. The sad thing is they are forsaking their mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Amazing. Amazing. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Oh. Oh. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It really is. I don't know if I've tried to give a picture here of what you offer to the Lord Jesus, but what he has offered to us is an amazing life with him. We often think about, what do I get from it? What do I get out of this? Oh, I can't even explain it, the unmerited favour of God. It's almost not enough to describe grace. It's almost indescribable. Amazing. Here, go with me. This is just coming to a bit of a finish, conscious of time. Just before I read it, it's in Philippians chapter 2. I've just kind of forgotten a thought, really. It was just this thing about the Lord. I pictured the Lord in the temple with those that were just putting in their monies. And they were putting it in. And it was a place that actually was a free will offering. And the Lord was just sat there at the treasury. And I, in my heart, I just described and I thought about the Lord. He is the treasury. He is the storehouse, as it's described when I was reading about it. And he's there and he's watching us. And he's just there full of grace and he's watching us. What we're putting in just daily. What we're offering him. How we handle suffering. How we handle loss, how we handle forgiving one another, as Helen brought out this morning. He's there, he sat there, he's watching. He loves us, and he long suffers with us. There are those that have so much, but give just a little. Like described, they just come and they... When I was a young person, I was in a youth tent in a Christian conference. I've asked for forgiveness and the Lord's forgiven me, but there was a big bucket that would come round and it had lots of coins and it was a collection. So we were in the youth tent and I was a bit of a rogue. Sat on the back row and it came to me and then I didn't have any money on me. So I put my hand in and I rattled it. Just to make it look like I'd put something in. And then it went by. I did have a bit of a checkered, well, not as bad as my brother. But sorry. But that there, just in that place there, what did I offer? Nothing. You know, offered nothing. It was just a superficial thing. It was just that people would see, oh wow, he's put some money in, hasn't he? And it passed by. By the way, I did say, Lord, would you... And I say that from a true place. Lots of things that you just say, Lord. Again, linked with the incredible grace of the Lord, you know. But anyway, the Lord is sat there. He's seeing today what you've put in. And if you feel like that widow, like I've been sat there this morning, like, what have I got to give? Just put in your all, your two mites. Yeah. If you're on Zoom this morning, just put in those two mites. Insignificant coins. Okay. You don't need to get your wad out. Okay. Flick through it and put it in. It's just a simple thing. Okay. Anyway, let's get on to the New Testament. Here it goes into Philippians chapter 2. Now it's about the Lord Jesus. He says this, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at every name of Jesus every knee should bow, for those in heaven, those on earth, and of those under the earth. Get the depth thing here, okay? Deep, superficial. The Lord has gone to the depths. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God and the Father. Wonderful. He had no reputation, but yet still fully God. How do you work that out? He became a bondservant. Incredible. David says this about his kind of describing the Lord. I haven't got time, but I looked at the parallels between David and Saul. Now David, I think, went deeper with the Lord than Saul. Why? Well, here's just a little verse here. He says, this is David praying, I believe out of humility. Like the Lord said that he humbled himself, David said, who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. And there is no one but God but you, as you have heard with our own ears. Incredible. There is almost a real, even in David, I think he was just putting in the two little mites there. I haven't got time to go into it, but Saul, he almost wanted someone else to repent for him. But David came. Jesus was emptied. Incredible. I tried to just think of a couple of verses. You don't need to go into it. 2 Corinthians, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That's incredible. Can you picture him at the treasury, the storehouse? He sat there, he owned everything. But he still wanted to see the response of those that came and just gave something, offered something simple. For he was indeed crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. And though we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. Incredible. 2 Corinthians 13 that was. Oh man, I'm going to finish. We have got something coming in a little bit, but I just want to say, maybe we could just close our eyes. I'm challenged this morning just to say there is a lot more under the surface. If you feel this morning like you're just scratching around, the Lord wants to take us deeper. He wants to move in lives. He wants us to know his wonderful grace this morning. Maybe things in our lives have become a distraction. Maybe we need to forsake those things and just get that wonderful mercy of God. Thank you as well for those that I've just lived with here and seen how the wonderful grace of the Lord has been upon their lives through suffering, through loss. It speaks just incredible volumes about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to step out this morning and forgive someone else. Maybe, like I was chatting to the young people, and I remember being young at one stage, maybe you just don't understand all things. You're not sure what to do, but you know that you can actually get your coin out and just put it in. Should we do that this morning? Just a couple minutes. Let's just close our eyes. I'll just pray. Lord, we have tasted, Lord, of your wonderful grace this morning. This unmerited favour from our God. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we do feel like that widow. Lord, she gave her all. Nothing remained. And we want to do that this morning, Lord, in our lives again. Whatever we have, we want to put it in the offering, Lord. Precious Lord, we worship you and love you. Amen, Lord.